Here we are in the second week of October, and today we're going to continue in our study on this subject, the power of positional thinking. Our scripture text is John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. So if you will, please get out your Bible, turn to John chapter 1, and we will consider the truth in this text about the power of positional thinking. And now let's bow our hearts for prayer. O Lord, we pray before you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the miracle of having your word enter our hearts may take place. Cause this word to come off the page and into our life, and help us to live out the truth before you. May our lives bring glory to your holy name and blessing to those around us. We trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I carry a burden in my heart, and that is for the truth of salvation to be recaptured as it was through the teaching of Jesus and Paul and John and Peter, and in the days of the early church, the days of the Reformation through the Puritans and over into our country. The truth of salvation has been lost in these modern days by making God's will above, making human will above God's will. That is not right. It needs to be restored that God is the author and God is the one who brings salvation. Now, in this particular text, we're going to learn that our position before God is that of being children of God. Knowing this helps us in our Christian life to live not on the basis of our commitment to God, but on the basis of His commitment to us, which brings stability and faithfulness and confidence in Him. Now let's go to our text, John chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is John the Baptist, born of Elizabeth and Zacharias, whom Jesus said was a burning and shining light. Again in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, as his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we introduce this section by thinking of John the Baptist who came to bear witness of the light. The light is personified in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. Verse 10. He was in the world. That is, he became human and lived here. And the world was made by him. He's creator. And the world did not know him because of the total depravity of sin. Verse 11. He came to his own, that is the Jewish people. Jesus was born through a Jewish mother. And he came to them, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This passage states that our position before God is to be children of God. This is the authority of the Word of God. The believers in Jesus Christ become children of God. That is, they are born again into the family of God. Let me remind you just now that this is the Word of God. This is the authority for what we believe. And when I say that our position before God is that of being children of God, born into his family, that is authority. That is not my idea. That is the authority of the Word of God, and that is what we must accept as our position before God. Now, in verse 12, it says, as many as received him. The world did not receive him. The Jews did not receive him. But as many as received him. Now, who are these people? Who are those who received him? Those who believe in his name. Now, verse 13 identifies who received him. Those who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, will of man, but of God. So we learn basically in this passage that salvation is of the Lord. Now that's the truth that needs to be restored today. Salvation is not human. Salvation is divine. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation comes by the sovereignty of God. Salvation comes by the power and energy of God himself. Salvation is of the Lord. Now in verse 13, we have the identity of those who received him. And how did they do this, and who are they? They received him because they were born of God. They were born of God, not vice versa. They did not receive him by their own will and flesh. They are those who received him because they were born of God. Now, the popular idea today is that we hear the gospel, we accept, receive, and believe, and then we are born again. Then we are born again of God, and that is impossible. Because we are dead in sin, and dead people do not make decisions, do not do anything of their own will. For us to become believers and receivers, we must first of all be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, which means he enters our life, gives us spiritual life, resurrects us from the dead, creates faith in us, and we become children of God. This is the identity of those who received him. Now, it is also true that this sovereign work of God in regenerating us does not cancel the fact that we do receive him. And today I can say by testimony that I believe that this concept is the truth of the Word of God, that a sinful, depraved person cannot make the decision to receive on his own, but that person must be born again and receive faith and then respond. And I can say to you today, I believe in Christ. I trust in Christ. I have been born anew. I am born of God. And as a result of that, I am among those who received him. And that is the identity of those who received him. They were born of God. Now, verse 13 goes on to tell us that those who received him, their salvation or our salvation cannot be attributed to natural descent, as the term here is that they were born not of blood, not of human blood relationship, not through forefathers. This is an individual thing. This is faith given to me and to you personally. We were not born again. We are not Christian. We do not receive him because our father did, or our mother did, or our grandpa, or our grandma. It is not of blood. Now, some Jewish people tried to claim spirituality by being born of Abraham. And it was pointed out to them that Abraham had a natural seed and a spiritual seed through Isaac, Jacob. And they must be in that spiritual seed. Their natural birth did nothing for them spiritually. Now, it is a great advantage to be born in a Christian home. And would to God that all of us had fathers and mothers who are Christian, but that does not make us Christian. We are not Christian by natural descent or of any ethnic background or of any geographical background, nor because of our service or our achievement or our religious nature. No, we are not born again. We are not children of God. We do not receive him because of natural descent. Furthermore, this passage teaches us that their salvation or our salvation cannot be attributed to human decision. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. It is by the decision of God. It is by the will of God. This needs to be restored today, in order that God may get the glory he deserves, and so that we have no boasting whatsoever in thinking that salvation comes by way of our decision. Now, the past few weeks, I have been teaching in a local Bible college. And there was a sign to me of a wonderful, marvelous subject. We are in a class teaching theological discussions. One of the subjects was Calvinism versus Arminianism. And the director of the college asked me if I would take that subject. Well, I didn't hesitate one second to say, yes, I would. And when I hung up the phone, I said, yay and hallelujah. What a marvelous opportunity. Because the group I was teaching were surely Arminian, with possibly one or two Calvinists. Now, what we got into then is the difference I've been speaking of. Does salvation occur from us, our human will, or does it come by way of God's will? And can the human will thwart or defeat the will of God or resist the will of God as God intends to save one? An issue for us as Christians is the matter of the will. Now, the popular term today is free will. And people will fight to defend their free will. Whereas Martin Luther points out in his book, The Bondage of the Will, is that our will is in bondage to sin, to Satan, to the world. And before our will can respond spiritually, it must be liberated and set free in this regeneration experience. And then we willingly, lovingly, enthusiastically believe with our will. But that is a gift. The decision we make with our will is the gift of God, including in the regeneration process. Our response is real. And today, I'm sure that many of you can say, I believe. I receive Jesus Christ. And that response is real. But it didn't come from you initially. It came from the Lord. So our salvation cannot be attributed to natural descent. Our salvation cannot be attributed to human decision. The salvation must be attributed to God's will and decree and choice. That is the initiating matter that brings about a moment in time for every one of God's elect when God intends to save and the Holy Spirit regenerates. This is the will of God to do that. That is His purpose. And that is what He will do. And no human being can ultimately resist. Now, it is true for a time it seems like the human will is resisting God, but only to a point in time. When God's predestined moment for the sinner to be saved, that will occur because it is by God's will and decree, and it is a compelling force with all the divine energy of God Himself to bring about that salvation. Their salvation, our salvation, must be attributed to God's will and decree and choice. Now, the salvation must be attributed also to the incarnation stated in verse 14. And the Word, that is, Christ, became flesh, incarnation, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is God's doing. No human being ever had this thought in mind, that the Lord God Almighty, Creator, would one day become human. That is impossible. It is God's doing, not man's. It is by God's initiative, by God's wisdom, by God's purpose and God's plan. And it was only through human agency, as he chose to use Mary as the vehicle through whom the Son of God would become human. This is the salvation of the Lord through God's revelation, not man's discovery. Our position then, because of this salvation, is that we are children of God. We are adopted into God's family, and God is our Father, and we have a position of family relationship. Now, this has to affect our lives. We cannot just look at this passage and think about it and close the book. Something has to happen within us. And I say that something has to be a deep appreciation, a consuming gratitude for what God has done for us. For if he had not, we face eternal condemnation. God saved us from that. I appreciate that. My heart is filled with thanksgiving and humility because of God's work in salvation. And therefore, we not only appreciate what he's done, but we live in the adorable worship of our God. And the praise and the thanksgiving just pours out of our heart. And no human being has to tell us to do that. It's just there. It's just within us. A third way we respond is to submit to his authority. Lord God, you are my Father. I am your child. I am not an authority. You are my authority, and I respond to your authority by following your word and by serving my Savior. And another way we respond to this truth is to proclaim it. We now have the privilege of knowing the truth of salvation, and of knowing our position, and we have the privilege of proclaiming it. And I have been really pleased by knowing some people who have come into the knowledge of their position and who believe it, who have found a fresh and enthusiastic faith because of their position in Christ. This is the word of the Lord, that salvation is of the Lord, and declares our position before him. May the Lord God bless this truth to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and pray that the Holy Spirit will work now in each of our hearts, in my heart, in your heart, in order that we might receive this truth as the Word of God for us this day and apply it to our daily living to bring honor and glory to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.